Second episode, Mr. Rothenbühler and the Prototype. Diego Rothenbühler sat in a wheelchair next to his bed. He no longer heard the ticking of the wall clock. Not that his ears were playing tricks on him in his old age. No. But he had been living in the small room for so long that he hardly noticed it anymore, nor the few faded photos that hung above the old bureau or the window that should have been cleaned long ago. The secretary was the only piece of furniture he was allowed to take with him on April 17, 2020, the day he moved into the Elfenberg Nursing and Retirement Center. Of course, the then spry man in his mid-70s did not come up with the idea of spending his retirement in Bulwell of all places on his own. Diego Rothenbühler wasn't just drafted. He had been drafted in by two paramedics who had supported his only daughter Lisa in her request and encouraged him on the long journey. "You will see, Mr. Rothenbühler," they had said, "at Elfenberg you are in good company, we have everything under control." This postscript, "we have everything under control," had been a constant in his mind over the past few years. In fact, Diego Rothenbühler had met many people at the Elfenberg Nursing and Retirement Center. The nurses came and went and the cleaning staff changed constantly. Those left behind were people like him, people, he thought bitterly, whose homes were now occupied by others. Diego Rothenbühler had been a member of the technical service of a large hospital for over 30 years, during which time he had repaired dozens of reading lamps, adjusted bed rails, insulated electrical cables, silenced dripping taps and oiled squeaky door latches. He had witnessed many things, even an amorous affair between a speech therapist and an occupational therapist in an empty patient room with locked beds, and he had also fallen in love a few times. The nutritionist with the thick black braids, for example, who once even brought him a bar of chocolate after he had repaired her flashlight. But he never figured out why the hell a nutritionist needed a flashlight. Now Diego Rothenbühler heard a humming behind him. It was that time again. Lobo, the technical nursing assistant, as the blue-gray machines that support the activities of daily living were called, headed for his wheelchair. Diego Rothenbühler was gently pushed in front of the sink so that he could shave. The two red eyes of the complex device, which was supposed to relieve the barely existing home staff, flashed funny. "We have everything under control." The machine fished for the washcloth with its pincer-like hands. Even at the age of 78, Diego Rothenbühler was still interested in everything that had to do with technology. He hadn't missed the fact that there was a small wheel on Lobo's left hip and a button underneath. They were protected by a plastic cover. By turning the wheel clockwise, Lobo's grip could be strengthened, which was necessary, for example, when Diego Rothenbühler's wheelchair had to be carried down the stairs. Strangely, there was no wheelchair accessible lift in Elfenberg. If you pressed the button, hydraulically controlled additional pliers appeared, which were reserved for more complex care tasks. Lobo worked almost silently, running the washcloth over Diego Rothenbühler's back after removing the back of the wheelchair with a gentle click. 9 o'clock soon, grumbled the old man, I have to go silk painting. Silk painting was one of the key concepts that Lobo responded to. 20 minutes left, came a soft female voice. Actually, Lobo was genderless. However, a study showed that aging, stubborn men react particularly submissively to female voices. And Diego Rothenbühler was an old, stubborn man. He hid the thermometer, shoved most of the tablets under the pillow or, when he got the chance, used the breakfast knife to cut up the blood pressure machine. He also took great pleasure in pinching the Croatian cleaning lady's ass when she bent down to dust the heater in Diego Rothenbühler's room. He had actually finished with people, he would never forgive his only daughter for deporting him here. Cleaning the prostheses was tedious and Lobo could only help to a limited extent. But finally Diego Rothenbühler's hair was done, the prosthesis was firmly in place and the top shirt button was fastened. He insisted on that. Silk painting, he repeated, hoping Thathys would increase the remaining time by 20 minutes. There's still 20 minutes left, the woman's voice answered promptly. Holy Emma, sighed Diego Rothenbühler, and thought of his late wife, Holy Emma. Lobo then had to take his wheelchair down the wide stairs to the ground floor. Diego Rothenbühler would never get used to how the robot had to mobilize its utmost strength to lift the wheelchair with the 17 additional stabilizing tongs. Some nurse brought him in regularly. Today it was Sonia, a Polish woman with a too wide smile, who manipulated the side wheel and the button on Lobo's hip clockwise. enduring this was Diego Rothenbuhler's daily bread. Look, evil is so close, he thought every time he watched the young woman at Lobo's side out of the corner of his eye. He always felt dizzy, once he even lost consciousness during this maneuver. He had Lisa to thank for that, his only daughter and her alone. Today she would visit him while he was painting silk. Her fake friendliness was almost unbearable. Father, she always said, Father, it's great that you're doing so well. Are they cooking you something nice today? I was just on Mom's grave and put cut flowers down. If there was anything he could hate with his 78-year-old heart, it was that honey voice. Other residents in Elfenberg, who never had visitors, envied him. Your daughter is a magnificent woman, Jonathan mumbled again and again with his last two remaining teeth. How nice she is to you, crooned Britta, the overweight woman who was sitting opposite him while he was painting on silk. All the material was already prepared when Diego Rothenbuhler was driven to his place by Lobo. Lisa was already there too. She chatted animatedly with the Tamil physiotherapist and almost overlooked her father. Father, he suddenly heard her voice behind him, Father, it's good that you're doing so well. Her perfume stung his nose. He would have rather had a snail on his cheek than her fleeting kiss. Just sit with me, he asked her. He had never said that before, he hadn't even spoken to Lisa in years. Surprised, she picked up a chair and pushed it next to her father. Would you like to tell me something, Daddy? She lisped expectantly. This was due to the braces that had been removed too early when she was 12. Lobo stood behind the two of them doing nothing. Do you know Lobo yet? Diego Rothenbuhler asked his daughter. He can also shake hands. Lisa had known Lobo for a long time and turned to him. Greetings was the key word. Lobo reached for Lisa with his pincer-like hands, tangling in her floral summer dress. At that moment, Diego Rothenbuhler folded aside the plastic cover that was on Lobo's left hip. With a shaking hand, he moved the wheel clockwise until it stopped. Then he pressed the button underneath. The hydraulically controlled 17 additional pliers, which were reserved for more complex care operations, came to light. The ugly sounds of bones breaking and drawn-out screams could be heard. Everything's under control, croaked Diego Rothenbuhler happily, writhing in his first fit of laughter in years. Everything's under control. Activities of daily living. Run by Lobo, a prototype. Of course, after this incident, Lobo was sidelined for a while and reworked. For weeks, Diego Rothenbuhler was scrubbed by normal, human nursing staff. Then, all of a sudden, he was there again. On the outside, Lobo appeared unchanged. However, a key was now required to activate the hydraulically controlled 17 additional pliers. For those responsible, especially Kathy Emenmeer, the event with Diego Rothenbuhler's daughter was a catastrophe. She immediately had to go to the management and justify herself regarding the security measures in the Elfenberg Retirement and Care Center. It was the management who initiated this living aid robot project. But the whole thing was in danger of slipping away from all of them, and Kathy Emenmeer was lucky that she wasn't dismissed without notice by the fat Mr. Hufnagel. Kathy Emenmeer was also lucky that Diego Rothenbuhler's daughter died at the scene of the accident. Serious injuries and narrow survival meant that Lisa was taken to a hospital via emergency services and received further treatment there. The Elfenberg Retirement and Care Center, with its experimental machinations involving prototypes and highly developed digital twins, might have been exposed, and not only Kathy Emenmeer would have ended up on the street, but also Klaus Hufnagel and his management colleagues. As it was, the cleaning service had discreetly done what was necessary, cleaned the bloodstained chairs and disposed of the terrible-looking corpse with all its broken bones. For this purpose, the Whittlinger architectural firm installed another incineration plant in the underground excavation, which led into extensive catacombs, a corridor of which led to Under Sabir's house, a few hundred meters next to the Elfenberg Retirement and Care Center. The facility was also underground and was intended to destroy traces. It was clear to everyone involved from the start that one or two deaths had to be risked in this profitable venture, which was carried out in secret for as long as possible. Dead people like poor Lisa. These corpses had to be turned into ashes as quickly as possible before the extensive and well-connected National Ethics Committee got wind of the machinations at the Elfenberg Nursing and Retirement Center.